Well, golly gee willikers, hi, how you doing? Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos, and I am the geek. Yeah, it's me. I'm just going to talk to you about gardening stuff. Actually, in this segment, I've been getting lots of questions about pests, the little buggies. And they get in your plants, and they get in your yard, and they get in your house, and they get on your roof. Why do they get on your roof? I got to tell you, I was at a two-story, very small, actually two-story, one-bedroom apartment today. It was a building. It was a one-story house. And they had on their roof, and the lady was just crazy about it. They had grasshoppers, large grasshoppers, on the roof, up on the second story. Now, I couldn't see them. We had to, like, but she calls me and tells me, you got to come out and look at this. I went out there and I looked at it. And she said, now you got to come over here. And she had another house on the thing. She had stairs. You could go up there. And then she says, no, that isn't going to work. Come inside here and go into the kitchen and look across way up there. You'll see them up there. I'd never seen anything like this in my whole life. Never had seen anything like this in my And I said, yeah, okay, so there's some, appear to be some type of grasshoppers up there. She goes, yeah, you got to get rid of them. I said, why? Are they bothering you? She goes, well, I just know they're there, and they make me mad. I said, well, you know, they're not hurting anything. They're not eating any of your plants. They're all up there. You know, I don't know what's on your roof that they like. I don't think they eat shingles. I'm going to have to look this up, but I don't think they eat shingles. I looked it up. They don't. And, you know, she was just like, you know, almost mad that I wasn't going to do anything about it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I got a power sprayer. And if you want me to, I'm going to charge you $250 and I'll shoot pesticide up there and it'll probably chase them away. And she thought about that for a little bit. She goes, they're not doing any harm? I said, no, they don't do any harm. She said, you sure? I said, I'm sure. They don't eat wood. No, they don't eat wood. You're positive. I'm totally positive. Been doing this, you know, 40 years. I'm good. She goes, all right, I'm going to trust you. I said, okay, I'm happy. She goes, all right. She goes, would you look at the lawn while you're here? I said, sure. But anyway, I mean, you know, that people really freak out about bugs. They really do. I have a son, Zach. He doesn't freak out about bugs, but he does freak out about spiders. I have seen Zach chase a rat down, okay? I've seen him do that. I've seen him chase a rat down. And you know, he's not afraid of any other kind of bug. But spiders, they're not a bug. They're an arachnid. But spiders just scare him to no end. If we go someplace and there's a spider, he totally freaks out. He came over to my house with his girlfriend the other day. And I have a hibiscus out front. And a spider web had developed from the hibiscus up to the top of my house. And he would not come in my house until I got rid of the spider web. I mean, you know, he calls me on the cell phone. He goes, Dad, I'm outside. I said, well, come on in. You know, door's open. Come on in. He said, no. I said, why? He said, there's a spider web. I'm not going near. I said, I walked out. He could have walked around the spider web, but he would not even go close to it. So I went and I got a broom and I knocked the thing down, you know, swept it down. He goes, well, where's the spider? I said, I don't know. Well, I want you to kill the spider before I come in. Zach, the spider's fine. Come. He came in. It was just weird. And then when he left, he wanted me to go out. He's 23 years old. He has a girlfriend, and he wanted me to go out first to make sure there was no spiders. And his girlfriend's looking at me like, he's nuts. I said, okay, you know, I call these Zach hoops. You know, we'll just jump through the Zach hoop, and we'll go out, and, you know, I'll walk out there, and everything will be fine. He's just that way about spiders, so bless his heart. But what about insects, okay? And I'm going to talk just... I'm going to be very vague about insects because people don't understand how they live and, you know, and how they, you know, how they eat and all this. There are some insects and, you know, insects, they have a lot of things in common. Okay. They have a lot of things in common. Insects have mouth parts. Some insects have chewing mouth parts. Okay. You know any insects that have chewing mouth parts? There's a bunch of them out there, but to give you an example, caterpillars have chewing mouth parts because they chomp on the, you know, on the leaves, right? Okay, chewing mouth parts. Some insects have rasping, sucking mouth parts. What is a rasping, sucking mouth part? Well, flies, believe it or not, have rasping, sucking mouth parts. And they come up and they kind of go on something, you know, and they spit some stuff on it to loosen it up a little bit. That's why when you see a fly, you know, and you're out on a picnic and the fly lands on your potato chip, do know, I want you to absolutely know that that fly has gone on your potato chip or on your hot dog and went and spit some stuff on it and then tried to suck something off of it. They tried to do that, okay? I don't know if they were successful, but they tried to do that. So it's good to keep flies away. You know, when I'm, that's my paranoia. When I'm out and I see flies, but they have rasp. Then there are insects that have piercing, sucking mouth parts. Can you guess any of those? Well, let's name a few. Mosquitoes! Yeah! They have this little thing, and they shove it in your skin, and they suck your blood out, or they'll shove it into a plant. Chinch bugs that get into turf grass, they've got piercing, sucking mouth parts. They will just right into the base of that St. Augustine grass, and they will suck out the sap. And you know, first, they inject a material to loosen up the sap, and then they suck out the sap, and it kills your lawn. Darn them! You know, there are those. So those are the, you know, they all have these different mouth parts. Now, how does an insect breathe? An insect breathes through little tiny holes on their stomach. They're called spiracles. Those spiracles are little tiny holes that have little tracheas inside them. And they go inside the insect, and, you know, and that's how the insect breathes, is through these little tiny holes called spiracles. But here's the other interesting thing about insects. Let's compare us to insects, if you will, or even a dog to an insect. We have what is called a closed circulation system. We have arteries and veins. It's a closed system. Kind of works its way through its body and everything. Insects don't have that. Insects have what's called an open circulatory system. You take a big old insect and it has this fluid that runs through its body. And the spiracles, remember what I was talking about, those spiracles that they breathe through? They have these little trachea tubes that go up into that open circulation system. And when they suck in some air, it oxygenates their version of blood, and that works. Now, how does all that work? Well, do insects have a heart? Well, they kind of have a heart. It's more like a bilge pump. It just kind of goes bum, 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 and it pushes the liquid back and forth, and the oxygen comes in, and it oxygenates, and everything's wonderful. You know, that's wonderful. So some insects have wings. Some do, some don't. But they have wings, and insects have eyes. Some of them do, and some of them have big eyes. Some of them have little eyes. Some of them have multi-eyes. But insects are all basically the same when it comes to their circulation system, when it comes to the way that they take in nutrition, and where they poop, and all of that. You know, all of that is in common. So if we want to control insects, how do we control insects? Well, let me tell you my favorite way to control insects, and that is to do it mechanically. My house... Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. An insect is going to have a real hard time getting inside my house. All right? Just a real hard time getting inside my house. Now, that's just me. That's what I do. That's called mechanical. All right? Now, when you see these large grasshoppers, like the ones that were on the roof from my client, she said, "What is the best control for grasshoppers?" I said, "You want to know the best control? It's a mechanical control." She goes, "Well, what is that?" I said, "You get two bricks. You put one brick on the ground, and you convince the grasshopper to jump on the brick. Then you take brick B and set it on top of the grasshopper, and that pretty much does it." Fly swatters are mechanical controls. When we start using insecticides, and those could either be natural or they could be chemical, insecticides come in several different varieties. We have insecticides that are repellents. Some people like to repel insects. DEET that you put on yourself to keep the mosquitoes away, that's a repellent. Most of the pyrethroids that are out there, the natural pyrethroids and the synthetic pyrethroids, are repellents. You put those around and the insects don't come near it. They just like that. Then there are the non-repellents. Insects don't know it's there. They just don't know it's there. And they will crawl through it, and they will come in contact with it. And when an insect comes in contact with an insecticide, it gets them in one of two ways. They come in contact with it, and it works its way through their skin, and then it gets into their open circulatory system, and they have a nervous breakdown, essentially. They just stop. or it'll go through their spiracles. They'll breathe it in. Or there's some insecticides that are baits, and they'll eat it. And they will like that fire ant bait. Amdro fire ant bait is a bait. You put it down, the ants eat it, and then they die. It's that simple. There's a lot of natural baits out there that ants eat, and they die. Just a little bit about insects. I hope it helped. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. Sometimes we want to have control of our garden. Yeah, of what we plant. We want total control of the soil. Of the soil, that is. You know what? When you plant in the ground, sometimes that's a little challenging. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the Chief Geek, and we're going to talk about where you plant your plants, even if it's a vegetable garden, if it's a flower garden. I had the opportunity 2 days ago to go out, and a friend of mine, and it is a friend of mine who I know from, not from gardening, but I know from, you know, from technology, and she and her husband wanted me to come and look at their raised bed garden, their organic raised bed garden that they were planting. And they said, you know, that is a wonderful way to have control. Now, we live in Florida. We don't have soil. We have sand. So, you know, getting stuff to grow in Florida is a challenge. So raised beds are really good because you raise those things up and, you know, with a 2x10 or something, or 2x12 even, and build them up around. And then you just pile any kind of soil you want in there, or make any soil that you want and put it in there. And it works really, really well. And that, this is exactly what they did. They built, I think it was 10-foot by 8-foot. And then they went out and they spent a bunch of money on potting soil. They just put all kinds of potting soil in there. And before they did that, they did, you know, they took a rototiller to the inside, and they rototilled all the sand down there, and they busted it all up and made it all nice. Then they, right on top of all of that busted up soil that was all nice and everything, they put potting soil. They spent a ton of money doing this to build their organic garden. Oh, they made a mistake. And you know, it's an easy mistake to make. I go out there to see their organic garden, and what do I see? They used, I think they were 2x12s, large planks that they went out and bought. You know, money is no object to these people. They want a nice, something that's going to last. And they put up 2x12s and you know, really good job of construction and everything. But guess what? The 2x12s were pressure-treated wood. And this is going to be a vegetable garden, an organic vegetable garden with pressure-treated wood. And I'm out there and looking, and I, you know, I didn't want to bust their bubble. You know, I just didn't want to bust their bubble. But, you know, I had to be honest. I had to be honest. I said, you know, the construction of this thing is just wonderful. The way you did, you know, you rototilled underneath, I was so proud of them. And the way that they, you know, they just did everything right except for pressure-treated wood. What is in pressure-treated wood? Chemicals. All kinds of weird chemicals that keep the wood from rotting or getting termites or, you know, just that's what it makes wood last a lot longer. And I don't know what chemicals are in those things now. They used to put creosote in them. They don't do that anymore. But they got all these chemicals in there. And I said, you just have built an organic garden and you surrounded it with chemicals. What do you mean? I said, pressure-treated wood. And, oh, my God, I thought she was going to have a thrombo. I really did. She was so upset. I said, I have a solution for you. She goes, what's the solution? And I said, you're not going to like it maybe, but you probably should. She goes, what's the solution? I said, plastics. She goes, what? I said, did you see The Graduate when Benjamin was trying to figure out what to do with his life and the guy came over and put his arm around him and said, Ben, I got one word to say to you. It's plastics. She goes, yeah. I said, well, that's the one word I have to say to you for that is plastics. She goes, what? I said, go on out and buy some, you know, the thickest clear plastic Visqueen that you can buy. And I said, and you got to dig out from the sides. And you got to take that plastic and you got to take it down below the soil line on the inside of this all the way around. That way, the chemicals will not get to your plants. It's going to have that plastic barrier around it that's going to solve that for you. And she looked at her husband, and he looked at me, and he looked at me in such a way that, oh, gee, Michael, you just caused me a lot of work, But she said, well, we got to get right on that. So they were off, and I'm invited to go this weekend to see the results. I'm not going to have time to go this weekend. I got too much stuff going. I'm going to a conference on Saturday. I've got a bunch of stuff, so I can't go. And my son's doing something cool at church. I got to go see that on Sunday. Anyway, that was the solution. Here would have been a better solution. Use a wood that is not pressure treated. And in the case of where we live in Florida, cypress would have been good. Here's another solution that would have been good. Okay, that would have been just fine. They actually sell, and I saw these. I haven't seen them in a while, but they have, it's like 12 or 14 inch tall plastic planks, but they're plastic that have stakes in them that go into the ground, and you can make these little things. I have not seen them in a while, but that's out there, and you can do that. Or if you're going to use the pressure treated wood, you wrap the pressure treated wood with plastic on the bottom. Very important, on the bottom and on the sides, on the insides. Don't worry about the outside, but on the insides, you can do that. Although I still don't like the idea of using pressure-treated wood in an organic garden. Now, if you're going to make a flower garden, knock yourself out. Just stick it in there. It's going to do good. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. But that's what I like about raised beds, because you have a lot of control. Well, what is the next thing that you can do besides a raised bed? And we've talked about this. The brand name is Earthbox. It's all made of plastic, by the way. Earthbox is really good. Look them up on the internet. I don't sell them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how to make one in a minute. But you can buy them. They're about $60. They're not cheap. But I have about five of them around here. And they're actually in my garage. But they're plastic containers, long containers, long and skinny containers that have a wick system on the bottom. And it's got a section on the bottom where it's all carved out. And then, there's holes with, and you just put the soil on top of that. And you've got a water pipe that goes down the one side. And you have a hole right above the soil for the water to drain out of. And those work really well. But they're about $60. They're kind of expensive. Just Google them and you'll find them. But if you Google them and you find them, I'll tell you that they're real. If you look over one really, really well, I made for the former Mrs. Gross, the third Mrs. Gross, the third and final Mrs. Gross, by the way. Who knows? I could fall in love again. Who knows? That would be nice, wouldn't it? I want a girlfriend. That would be so nice to. But anyway, getting back to that, for the third and final Mrs. Gross, I went out and I bought plastic tubs, just the plastic totes. And we took the tops and we drilled holes in the tops and we put those on the bottom of the thing and we built a wick system. I got some plastic tubing and we made our cheap imitation earth boxes. And we made, we made three of them, and our total cost in making three of them was like $15, $16. Then I made her three more, and she was planting like crazy. So there's always a way. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. For some reason, there's a big interest in my Blue Boy mower and the fact that my neighbor has it and is trying to fix it. I guess I should fill you in on that. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. We're going to talk about lawnmowers in this segment. So this is good. Why not start with my Blue Boy mower? I set out this year to buy an eGrow electric lawnmower. I had budgeted the money to buy an eGrow all-electric lawnmower. I was all excited. I said, this is the year I go green. This is the year I go green. So I put the money aside, and I went to Home Depot to buy one, and they didn't have any. They are just flying off the shelves. They couldn't get them in fast enough. And so I said, okay. Well, then I run into a friend of mine who tells me, you know, he collects Blue Boy mowers. Some of you are saying, but Michael, what is a Blue Boy mower? Unless you lived in the county that I lived in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you have no idea what a Blue Boy mower is. A Blue Boy mower was made by Blue Boy Mowers Incorporated on Clearwater Largo Road. It was a family-owned business, and they made the best lawn mowers ever. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, my dad bought a Blue Boy mower, and I mowed my yard, my parents' yard, on Mangrum Drive in Dunedin, all the way from junior high school right up until, you know, after high school when I got married and moved away. You know, I mean, and then my sister mowed the lawn for years with that Blue Boy mower. Just years. Heavy mower. Steel. I mean, thick steel. There isn't a piece of plastic on this thing, all right? A really good motor. And it was, you know, mechanically, you know, big, sturdy wheels thing, you know. But the one I had growing up was not self-propelled. I had to push it, but I was young and I was strong and I pushed it. My sister mowed the yard until she got tired of mowing the yard, and then she hired a lawn service to mow the yard at my mom's house. And she gave the Blue Boy mower to a friend of my late father's, who lived in the neighborhood, and he mowed his yard for years until he died. I have no idea what happened to the Blue Boy mower after that, but, you know, right after I was going to buy the eGrow mower, my friend John says, oh, I collect Blue Boy mowers. He posted this. I said, oh, and he showed a picture. I said, I want to come see that. So I went down and to look at all of his Blue Boy mowers, because it just warmed my heart, brought back memories, and I just also wanted to see him, you know, wanted to visit with him. And next thing you know, I think I'm out 20 or 25 bucks, and him and me and another guy that is where his shop is are loading this Blue Boy mower. And by the way, I'm like breaking my back getting this Blue Boy mower into my pickup truck. I mean, it is that heavy. And this one is a self-propelled 6-horsepower motor. Not, like I say, not a piece of plastic on the thing. And it was 51 years old. And he, you know, before I bought it, you know, he says, oh, try and start it. You know, just, you know, choke it a little bit, give it one pull. Choked a little bit, gave it one pull, started right up. I said, oh, man. So I came home and I mowed the yard. And my God, I so enjoyed the mow. By the way, if you want to adjust the blades on this thing, it was just like this giant thing. You got to, you know, it takes 2 hours to adjust the blade. So get the blade where you want it and leave it that way. You know, not like the newer mowers where you just, there's little things to real easy. This thing, you know, 51 years old, okay? So, boy, did I enjoy the mow. By the way, when I got it home, I had to get neighbors to help me unload the thing off the truck, which was just, But, you know, I said, okay, next time out, I go out, you know, and we'd been having a lot of rain and the grass was growing. I said, I'm going to go enjoy the mow. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to mow my lawn. It's going to be great. I get out there, start the thing up, starts right up. I'm going to start with the backyard. And I go out there and I'm mowing. And I said, you know what? I said, it's getting dark. I should go out and do the front yard first and I can do this tomorrow. So I go out in the front yard and I'm mowing out in the front yard out by the tree lawn section. And all of a sudden the thing just stopped. Just stopped like it was no tomorrow. Just stopped. I said, well, I checked the gas, had gas, checked the oil, everything's good. The thing would not start. It would not start. Went and got in my garage, I had some of that stuff that you spray, alcohol spray, that you spray into the carburetor. It would start up for a minute. Yeah. I'm getting frustrated. Well, then I pushed the thing back up to the garage. This thing weighs, you just have no idea how much the thing weighs. I take it back up to, long story short, I could not get the thing started. So I said, okay, I took my little Murray mower and I went out, which is a push mower, but it's very light, very easy to use. And I finished mowing the yard and that was that. Along that time, you know, the thing's out in my driveway. One of my neighbors sees it, who lives around the corner, and he's like very mechanically goes, let me take it home and play with it. I said, oh, all right, you know, because I don't want it. So he pushed this thing over to his house, which is like right around the corner from me. And he's going to fix it. Well, I got to tell you, we're like 2 weeks into this now. I was there the other day. He's got the wheels off the thing. He's got the motor off the thing. He's got the blade off the thing. It's like he's totally rebuilding it. And I think that he thinks that it's his mower now. And, you know, I have to tell you, I am so blessed to live in the neighborhood that I live in. All of my neighbors are wonderful. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't think he wants to part with it. I think he's adopted it. And I think he's eventually going to rebuild it, or maybe not. But I think I'm saying goodbye to my Blue Boy mower. And what makes me mad is that I then budgeted enough money to go out and buy an e-grow mower again. And, you know, I worked extra hard to be able to do this. And then all of a sudden, I saw this. Well, I saw it over in Orlando at a show I was at. I do the radio show. I have a German mixing board here that I use, and it died. And I've got a small other German mixing board here that I'm using right now. Well, there's this mixing board that's made by a company called Rode, R-O-D-E, that makes my microphone. I have a very high-end microphone. And they have a mixing board that is just the most wonderful thing in the world. And it's taking the world by storm, especially the podcasting world by storm. But radio stations are buying this thing. So I said, you know what? I want one of those things. So my lawnmower budget is now gone again because I bought one of those Rode mixers. And then I found out after I ordered it that it isn't going to be here until the end of June. I said, oh. But anyway, I don't have a mower. So what kind of mowers do I like? Before all of this happened, before all of this drama happened with mowers, my go-to lawnmower was the Toros. I just love the Toros. And they've got several varieties. But I had one Toro that I had for 10 years before I got divorced, and the former Mrs. Kroos had it for 5 years after that. I came over here and bought this house 12 years ago, and I bought another one, and I had that, and there was, you know, things going on in my life. I got 5 years ago, I got real sick, and I couldn't mow the yard. I went a year before I could mow the yard, and I don't know, in a weak moment, I gave it away. I gave it to the guy that had a lawn service that was mowing my grass because I didn't think I was ever going to be able to mow my grass again. So I gave it away. I said, oh, man. So once I recovered enough and the guy stopped coming, I didn't fire him. He just stopped coming. I think he went out of business. He just disappeared. I said, okay, I'm going to go buy me another Toro. But, you know, at the time, I had been out of work for a long time and I had to watch my pennies. So I bought I forget where I was. Might have even been Walmart. There was this little Murray mower there for $180, a little push mower. And I said, well, I can afford $180. So I bought the thing. I had no faith in it. I got to tell you, that thing mows the grass just wonderfully. It's got a little Briggs & Stratton motor on it. And every time I pull the thing, it starts right up. And I just go out, and it's light, very, very light, and I push the lawnmower. But I eventually, you know, I probably not this year, but eventually I would like to go all electric. And I was told, wrong, by the way. I was told the Toro was coming out with an electric mower. Well, they didn't come out with an electric mower this year. They, you know, Toro is one of these companies. They do research and development for a long time before they come out with a new product. And, you know, that's fine. In the past, I've also had Lawn Boys. I did not love the Lawn Boys. They did not make my heart sing. I know people who have Lawn Boys. The guy two doors down has a Lawn Boy, and he loves it. And his Lawn Boy, he tells me, is like 15 years old, and he loves it. I don't like the sound of it. I don't like the looks of it. I just don't like Lawn Boys. That's just my personal thing, but he loves Lawn Boys. And my buddy Stan has a Lawn Boy. He loves his Lawn Boy. I have always been a Toro man. But now, when I finally get myself together, I'm going to buy an electric lawnmower. I am totally committed to that. Unless, of course, I take the money and buy some additional audio equipment. You know, that Murray mower is working really well, and my neighbor has hijacked my 51-year-old Blue Boy. Life can get complicated. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. I want to tell you something I learned from my late mother, and she was just so right on to this. She goes, Michael, I wanted you to know something. I said, what, Mom? She goes, all is fair in love, war, and gardening. She's right. Hi, everybody. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. I'm Michael Kroos, and, you know, this is what we do here. And my mother broke the rules in gardening all the time. I'm kind of a, you know, I used to be a horticulture instructor. And, you know, we are taught as instructors to teach a certain way. And as a radio host, I've taught a certain way. And, you know, my mom used to violate all of my rules. And she was so much more successful at growing anything than I was. I remember one time I bought her, we had in my office up in Tarpon Springs, I had a Diffenbachia that had grown tall and lanky. It was a house plant. I had it in the office and it just looked really nice. I liked it. Well, it just grew too tall and lanky. And my mother says, you know, we should do something with that. So I said, well, you want it? You know, she goes, I'm going to take it home and propagate it. I said, okay. She goes, how do you do that? So I gave her all of my strict rules on propagating a Diffenbachia. Okay, you cut the stem into 2.5 to 3 inch sections. Put it in a flat. You can use any potting soil you want, but I myself like to use pure vermiculite. You put them down, and you make sure that you put water on it all of the time. And you know, I go through all of these rules. Mom takes the thing home. And she goes home and she goes and she finds if you buy a case of soda, she didn't drink beer. She bought a case of soda for my sister, who is now my late sister, God love her. It comes in that little flat cardboard box. All right. So my mom goes out in the back or in the front yard and she takes her hand trowel and she just digs dirt out of the ground. Just digs dirt, fills this thing up. Waters it, gets it nice and wet. She cuts up the thing the way I told her to. And I also gave her a little hint about taking a razor blade on the bottom and giving a little slice, dip it in rutone, when I gave her the rutone to do this in, and just put it in there. And then watch it, and when just watch it and, you know, pick it up every so now and then. And, you know, she just takes this thing. Actually, she took two of them. Filled them full of dirt that she just pulled out of her garden that had nematodes and God only knows what else in them. She broke every rule in the book and she stuck it out there. She watered it one time, then she never watered it again. She just let the rain water it and she stuck it out underneath her shrubs where they were getting indirect shrub light and she walked away from it. And I went to her house like the next day and I saw what she was doing and I didn't want to, you know, she's mom. I can't tell her she's doing wrong. She's mom. She makes me banana cake for crying out loud. I'm going to tell you, I had done a similar thing not terribly long before that, and I followed all of the rules. By the way, she did not dip them in rutone or hormodin. She did not put the little slice underneath the thing. She just stuck them in there, boom, 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 on her side. She stuck them in there. And by the way, she didn't do 3 inches. They were all like about an inch. They were all, and she had a bunch of them. She goes, if I'd have had more flats, I'd have done more. She said, I wound up throwing most of the plant away. And I'm sitting there saying, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to be successful. So I just kind of, you know, I said, I'm just going to back away and let her fail. And, you know, she's mom and I don't want to make her mad because she makes really good chocolate chip cookies. So she says, she called, you know, she in the office, she goes, oh, I got something for you. I said, what's that? This was, I don't know, about 4 weeks later. She brings in a little 6-inch pot, and there is a Diffenbachia growing in the pot. And I said, whoa. And she goes, and I said, this isn't one. She goes, oh, yes, it is. I said, really? She goes, yep, every one of them took. Every stinking one of them took. And she had to go out and buy these little 6-inch pots. I said, Mom, you know you're going to have to get bigger. She didn't want to hear it. She gave them away to all of her neighbors and all of her friends and all the people that she used to work with. She gave away, she probably had 30 of these things, and she made them into nice little presents and gave them away. She was really big on doing things with veterans groups, and she took them and gave a bunch of them away at the local VA hospital. That just brought her great joy. And she broke all the darn rules about propagation and was very successful, to where myself, little old me, I follow all the rules, and I'm successful. By the way, when I'd done it, I had a 70% success rate, and I did everything properly. She had a 100% success rate, and she did everything properly. Every year at Christmas time, I would, of course, buy her a poinsettia. That was just, that was my thing. And she would take, after Christmas was over, she would take the poinsettias, and she says, I want to keep them forever. And she would plant them on the south side of her house, which was pretty much shaded over, got a little bit of sunlight, but pretty much shaded over. She would plant them there. And I remember when I first told her, I said, Mom, that's not going to work. So, okay. When my mom passed away, the whole side, the whole south side of her house was one giant group of poinsettias. Just one giant group of poinsettias that looked so beautiful all year round. Nice big leaves and everything. I mean, just looked stunning all the way around. And, again, violated every rule, did it her way. And I need to loosen up. I've just decided I'm old enough now. I need to loosen up and start breaking some of the rules. I need to do what my mom did. You know what else mom did? This is ever so slightly off the subject. Once a year, she went with a couple of people that she had worked with years ago. They would go to the dog tracks, Derby Lane in St. Petersburg, once a year. And she would go down there with $20. She always came back with $100 or more. She always won. She only went once a year, and then once a year she went to the dog track, or I'm sorry, the horse track over in Oldsmar, Florida Downs. She'd go over there once a year. I said, Mom, what's your system? She goes, I just look for names that I like and just kind of go with that. And she always won. She always won. And her friends say, oh, we got to go back next week. Nope, once a year. That was her rule. Once a year. Crazy. I've never been to the horsies. And I've done some consulting work at the dog tracks, but I've never gambled. Think I ought to try? I don't know. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.